And we're holding on Hey Bays Amud Aleph, the fifth line. The Mishnah described a case where a person buys one or two trees within somebody else's field. The Mishnah had said, which we're going to discuss further along, that if he buys three or more trees, then automatically he gets land together with the trees. And we're going to see further down, beginning at the bottom of the Amud, just how much he gets. But if he buys one or two trees, then the Mishnah had said, well, the Tanakhama had said that he doesn't get land. Reb Meir says he does. But according to the Chachamim, and the Halacha is like them, that he doesn't. The Mishnah had said like this. First of all, if over the years, the idea is like this, he hasn't bought any land with it. On the other hand, obviously the trees themselves stand on land and they overshadow land. And that means that the owner of the field implicitly sold him the trees plus a shibud plus certain rights on the land, not to the extent where, for example, that he could actually replant new trees if the old ones died, because that would be using the land itself, and he doesn't have the right to that. But to the extent that he has the use of it during the life of these trees as a place for them to stand, of course, but also that, for example, the Mishnah had said, if over the years the branches of the tree grow and continue extending outward, then the owner of the field can't say, well, those are overshadowing the field, those are preventing me from planting in those places because then the sunlight doesn't reach them, so you have to trim back those branches. He can't require him to do that because the owner of the trees is able to say, you were evidently mishabed to me, you gave me, in other words, in effect, an easement on your land for whatever was necessary for the growth of the tree, and in that case, that includes these extra branches. So there's that. Then the Mishnah had continued with another point as well, that as far as now over the years, little branches may start growing out of the tree in new places. So it depends, the Mishnah had said. If they grow out of the trunk, then they belong to the owner of the tree. But if they grow out from the roots, then they belong to the owner of the land because the roots, in effect, are considered part of the land. So we said, where do we draw the line? What's considered from the trunk versus from the roots? The trunk and the roots, after all, merge one into the other. Rabbi Yochanan says the rule is like this. Any part of the tree that sees the sun, in other words, that's above ground, is zehu min hagezav, and that's defined as the trunk. Anything that doesn't see the face of the sun, so in other words, any part of the tree that's underground, then that's considered to be part of the roots, which means, in other words, you could have parts of the roots that what we would consider part of the roots that are really, for this purpose, considered part of the trunk because you have exposed roots. And vice versa, you could have part of the trunk itself is buried in the ground, and those that would be considered the roots for this purpose, even though botanically it's part of the trunk. Well, the Gemara asks, in that case, the lechush, so in that case, so you're telling me that anything that, so you're telling me that anything that grows from the trunk, even fairly low down, close to the roots, is going to belong to the owner of the tree. So the problem with that is, the lechush duma maska ara shirtain, what would happen over the years, sediment may build up over there by the tree. Usually when the Gemara says maskara shirtain, it doesn't mean a gradual buildup over the years. It would mean, for example, that one time there was a big storm that deposited a lot of silt or whatever. It doesn't really matter for our purposes. The point is, in other words, that you may have a lot more topsoil deposited around that tree. Now let's consider. So you bought to begin with a tree. Now you have, over the years, branches have started growing out of closer down, closer to the roots. And fine, as long as the base of them, as long as where they grow out of the tree is visible, that's on the trunk, then good. Everybody knows that those are part of the tree. No problem. The problem is now all of a sudden we have this deposit of sediment and silt over there. Now the bottom of the tree where they're growing out of it may be covered over. So now the owner of the tree is going to say, look at this, you sold me three trees, because now we can see above ground three different trunks, because now those what used to be branches now look like independent trunks of their own. And therefore he's going to argue, therefore I now own land, over here in the field, because as we said in the Mishnah, when you buy three trees, then automatically you have land with them. So how could the Chachamim make a takana that's going to cause problems like that? Now, the obvious question then that Rishonim bring up, that Rashba brings up. So what's the problem? You dig out the shirton, you see where these, you see the fact that these branches are attached to the tree, and the owner of the field says, fine, well then, what are you talking about? So the Rashba points out, first of all, we see from this Gemara that yes, as long as they look like, it wouldn't really matter. If to begin with, when he bought them, they did look like separate trees, even though in fact they're connected underground, they would in fact be considered three trees in halacha. There are, by the way, there are types of trees. You can go to some national forests and whatever, and you'll find that there are some kinds of trees out west where you have one root underground from which a whole bunch of trees grow over the years. I don't remember specifically what type of tree, sequoias maybe or whatever, but the point is that even if they're the regular kind that usually have one separate set of roots and one trunk per each, the Rashba says, you can see this is from this Gemara, it all depends on how they look above ground, and the din of buying three trees and having kalka would apply even in such a case. Besides which, the Ritva points out, okay, maybe in fact, yeah, when they come to Beis Din, Beis Din would tell them, well, go dig it out and see whether it's one tree or whether it's separate trees. Nevertheless, the question, you could even argue that if he says that at one time they looked like one tree and now they look like separate trees, you have a concept in halacha called kan nimsa kan hoya. You go according to the way things look right now. Since we see that it's now, then we don't, that gives us a chazaka that it was like that before. On the other hand, he goes on and brings that that Ramban disagrees with that and says that wouldn't apply over here because you have a different chazaka involved as well. Anyway, fine. Even if not, the point is it would still cause a hassle to the owner of the field where he would now have to go to Beis Din and the whole thing would have to be worked out. Why would the Chachamim do that? Why don't we just say that anything that grows out of the tree close to the ground belongs to the owner of the field, and that way that avoids the whole problem. So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Nachman Yochitz. No, so Rav Nachman says, what it means when we say in the Mishnah that anything that grows out of the sides of the tree belongs to the owner of the tree, we don't mean that he can leave it there indefinitely and over time it'll grow and become thicker and thicker and eventually it might look like a trunk of its own. What it means is he does have to cut them off. So in other words, the idea is they belong to him insofar as he owns them, he owns the wood of them, rather than if they grew out of the roots, whereas we said that the owner of the field would own them to begin with. But it doesn't mean that he can leave them there to continue growing. It means that he has to cut them off, but then he can keep the wood and any fruits that grew on those new branches and so forth. And Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing. So that avoids the problem. So now, in other words, whatever the tree, whatever the structure of the tree looked like when he bought it, we want to maintain that same structure and not to have branches that grow over the years, whereas we're saying over here conceivably they might eventually be taken for separate trees. Okay. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Nachman, Naktinan. Rav Nachman says we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim, the following din, Dekel Ein Loy Geza. When it comes to a palm tree, it doesn't have a trunk. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, a palm tree has a trunk. So we're going to explain soon what he means by that. So Sabar Rav Zvid Lameima, Rav Zvid thought to say that what Rav Nachman means is Ein La Gezel Baal Dekel means that this that we're saying in the Mishnah, that anything that grows out of the trunk belongs to the owner of the tree, that would not apply to palm tree. Because we learned on Peyam and Bays that palm trees are one of those types of trees that once you cut them down, once all that's left is a stump, or even for example, if the top of the tree were to die, it's not going to regrow, it's not going to regenerate. So, and we said over there, therefore, that if you buy a palm tree from somebody, we said with most trees, if you buy them from somebody else, where the understanding is that you're going to be able to chop down the tree. But in other words, so you bought it basically for its wood. then you have to leave over, we said you have to leave over a stump of at least a certain height so that the tree can regenerate from that, as opposed to, we said, with palm trees, you don't need to, and you might as well take out the whole thing, roots and all, because once you cut it down, it's not going to regenerate. So Rav Zvid thought to say that that's what Rav Nachman means. When it comes to a palm tree, you don't have the owner of the tree doesn't get to keep any of the branches that grow out of the sides, to keep it to the mechba or the sharish koi, because since sooner or later the tree is going to die, and then at that point he's going to uproot the whole thing, because at that point he doesn't have the right to replant the tree and it's not going to regrow. Asuchi masach date, then he's masiach das, he gives up on any branches that grow out of the trunk. He has the figures. Why should he even bother taking ownership of them? So therefore, to begin with, he doesn't even intend to keep anything that comes out of the trunk. He has no intention to be koyne. This is how the Rashbam explains. We'll talk soon that Tosfos has a different explanation of it. Anyway, however, maskif lo rapapa, but rapapa says, how can you understand it that way? Consider the case where a person buys two regular trees, not, in other words, like in the earlier Mishnah, where he buys them with the understanding that he's going to just going to cut them down and use the wood, but rather where he buys two trees, and as long as the trees are alive, he's going to continue getting the fruit from them. But we said in our Mishnah that he doesn't own the land, and therefore there also, eventually, if the trees die, he's going to have to dig them out and remove them, roots and all, because after all, he doesn't own the land, any land at all. All he has is a shibud on the land, an easement on the land, and as soon as the tree dies, then that easement goes away. Vikatani, and still the Mishnah said, Diyeshle Geza, that he still owns anything that grows out of the sides of the tree, out of the sides of the trunk. So we see nothing, no Hesach Hadas over here, just because he's not going to be able to keep the tree indefinitely. Ela, Amar Papa, Ein Le Geza Labal Dekel. No, the Papa says what it means is when Rav Nachman says that the owner of the palm tree does not have Geza, does not have a trunk, it means, yes, it does mean that he doesn't get any of the branches that grow out of the sides. But the reason is Lafiche and Moitzi Geza, because palm trees don't do that. Branches don't grow out of the trunk of the palm tree. The only place on a palm tree where branches grow is at the top, at the crown of it, as we learned previously, in the previous parak. For that reason, we said palm trees are the type that oydin loy bechevel, you have to, if you want to harvest the fruit, if you want to pick the fruit from it, you have to pull yourself up on a rope to get to it, because otherwise you're not going to be able to get up there without a rope or a ladder or something like that, as opposed to other trees where you're able to climb from branch to branch. So that's all Rav Nachman means is, so therefore, even if it should happen unexpectedly that a palm tree grows branches out the side, he would have been Masiach Das from it, not because of this consideration of that the palm tree eventually is going to die and then he's not going to have any of it, but just because it's so rare for it to happen that he doesn't have it in mind in the first place. Well, the question is, the Gemara says, Lo Zvid Kasha Mas Nisim. Well, going back to the Zvid's answer, now Rav Zvid is saying that it's not a question of how common it is. He's saying that even if it were to be more common, because a palm tree doesn't regrow after it's cut, therefore he's Masiach Das from anything that grows from the sides. And Rav Papa had asked from the contrast with the case of two trees in our Mishnah. So how would Rav Zvid answer that? I mean, Rav Zvid knows the Mishnayos after all. So in other words, fine, we're saying that to understand Rav Nachman, we're not going to use Rav Zvid's explanation of Rav Nachman, we're going to use Rav Papa's, but we have to understand what was Rav Zvid thinking in the first place. And the answer is, Dezabin L'chomish Shnin. The answer is that Rav Zvid would say that the Mishnah is talking about, suppose he bought the trees for a term of 5 years. Now, what that means is once they say 5 years, then what it means is he has the use of the land for 5 years, even to the extent of planting another tree if this one dies. When he sells him, when he sells him the land, Stam, like an Our Mishnah, then we're saying he has no rights to the land at all, and therefore he has no rights to replant a tree. Because, after all, it was an open-ended sale, and therefore, implicitly, if the guy wanted to actually sell him land, he would have included it, he would have said so in the deal. So therefore, we understand that he has no rights to the land at all. All he has rights to is these trees, and therefore, once any of them dies, then he has no right to replant one. But now, when he says 5 years, that means implicitly he's also renting him that part of the land for 5 years. So now he's going to be able to replant another tree there. Therefore, he's not Masiach Das, because conceivably the tree could produce branches out the side meanwhile. So Zvid takes the view that in that case he ought to be entitled to the branches that grow out of the side. And with most trees, he would be. Only when it comes to a palm tree, where the difference being that if the palm tree dies, he's not going to be able to, the difference is that if a palm tree dies, the difference is that a palm tree, once the top is cut off or once the top dies, then that's it. It's a goner, as opposed to other trees where they're going to continue regrowing, and therefore he's less Masiach Das from those. So we can at least make Reb Zvid's understanding work with the Mishnah and not flat out contradict it. Now, Tosfos though has various questions on the Rashbam's explanation of this, among other things, for the Mishnah had used the expression, the Gemara rather had used the expression Sovar Reb Zvid. Reb Zvid thought to say, which means that we end up slogging up what he said, but in the end, we found that what he said does have a way of working with the Mishnah. Fine, we may not accept it lahalacha, but we can't really say sova on it as though he thought to say, and then it turned out to be that it doesn't fit with things at all. Among other things, this that Rapapa is saying that it's a practical fact that palm trees don't usually grow branches out the side and other ones do, the Tosfos says it's a bit of a doicha. Another point is, what do you mean the 5 years? The fact is, the Mishnah is saying em lekarka. Why would there be a distinction, 5 years or not? Anyway, so Tosfos ends up explaining at some length over here. First of all, when Reb Nachman says a palm tree, he doesn't only mean a palm tree. We learned on Pei Amud Beis that another type of tree that's in that category is an erez, which is a cedar tree. Actually, the Gemara had said there, we learned it over Shabbos, that strictly speaking, some kinds of cedar trees do regenerate when they're cut off, some don't. The Gemara had said over there, there are 10 different types of trees that are in the category of erez in Halacha, and among them, some of them will regenerate if they're cut down, some won't. So when Reb Nachman to begin with had said, a dekel, a palm tree, he doesn't only mean a palm tree, he means other ones that are in that category where when they're cut down, they're not going to regenerate. Now, some of them, though, will grow branches out the side. Unlike a palm tree, which never grows or almost never grows branches out the side, other ones do. So Zvid had said then that he's Masiach Das from anything that grows out of them, because soon enough, when they die, then he's not going to be able to chop them down and allow them to chop away the dead part and allow them to regenerate. They're not going to anyway. So the Papa said, no, the fact is the Mishnah must be talking about most kinds of trees. The Mishnah had said generally Ilonis trees, which implies most different kinds of trees. So he's saying that no, Reb Nachman is talking about only a palm tree, because a palm tree is botanically different than the other trees, not just that it doesn't regenerate if it dries up and you cut it and cut off the dry part, but also because it doesn't grow things from the sides in the first place. But then the Gemara is saying that according to Reb Zvid, let's say we are talking about other trees as well, like Reb Zvid had understood in the first place. We are talking about cedar trees or whatever, but we're talking about where there was a 5 year, there was a 5 year arrangement over there. So therefore that implies now it's a usually, if you buy them for 5 years, we're talking about, he probably bought young trees to begin with. We're not talking about where he bought aged trees that are likely to die within those 5 years. The likelihood is that these trees are going to last for all 5 years. Therefore, he still considers, I want anything that comes that grows out of the trunk. But it's true, Tosfos says, if they were unexpectedly to die within those 5 years, he wouldn't be able to plant new ones, unlike the Rashbam. But the point is, the very fact that to begin with, he bought them for 5 years implies that the expectation was they were going to live for 5 years. And then that's all Rabbeinu Tam's explanation in Tosfos. Then Tosfos goes on to bring a Gusa of Rabbeinu Hanan, for Tosfos goes on to bring a Gusa of Rabbeinu Hanano, and we're in what Rav Zvid says, where it doesn't say Labala Dekel, it just says Sovlameima Engla Geza, that maybe by a palm tree you don't have the distinction between trunk and roots that we said before, and he goes and explains the Gemara along those lines, and then the Tosfos goes on to bring another explanation from the Ri, and then so Tosfos has several different ways of explaining this little piece of Gemara. In any case, those various explanations will address their objections against Rashbam. That why is the Gemara saying Sova, which makes it sound like we can't use Rav Zvid's explanation at all, when in fact the Gemara finds a way to use it. And the various other questions that they asked about what's the difference between 5 years and not, and so forth. The Gemara continues. Kona shloisha kona karka. We said that if you buy three trees, then in somebody else's field, then automatically you're buying karka together with them. So the Gemara says, "Vakama, how much land are we talking about?" Obviously, again, as usual in these parakim, if we specified how much, then there wouldn't be a question in the first place. But here we're talking about nothing was specified, but it's a given that together with three trees you're getting karka. So how much? And obviously it can't mean you bought the whole field. The Nemuka Yosef points out that the expression in the Mishnah kona karka rather than kona soda or something like that, kona soda would imply that he buys the whole field, but obviously it's not. So therefore it means that he's buying only a certain amount of land. How much? So it's like this. He buys all the area under the tree. So that means the actual area on which the trunk stands, as well as all of the area over which the branches overhang. Uve nehen. Then he also has acquired the land between the trees, provided, as the Gemara is going to go on to talk about at the bottom of the next onward, provided the trees are a certain minimum and maximum distance apart. You're not going to say, for example, that if he buys, you're not going to say, for example, that if the field is the length, let's say, of a square block here in Crown Heights, you're not going to say if, let's say, he buys one tree on the Brooklyn Avenue end of the block and two more on the Kingston Avenue end, that he's going to own all the land between them. We're going to see in the Gemara how far apart the trees are. So when they're the proper distances apart, then he's also bought the land between the trees, between the foliage of one tree and the next. The chutzalahen, and outside surrounding the branches of each tree, himloy oda basaloi, the amount of space that it would take for a person to walk over there with his basket. Oda means the one who's picking the fruit. So all of that area belongs to him. So in other words, if the trees are planted, let's say in the shape of a segel, so it means, in other words, so you would draw a line outside, that you would draw a line beyond that segel, the distance of kimloy out of a salai, and everything within that circular triangle, or whatever the name of the shape would be exactly, is going to belong to the owner of the three trees. So the Gemara says, maski for Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, what's the logic that he should own land outside the trees in order for him to walk around to pick the fruit? Hashta derech emoy, says Rabbi Elazar, consider, when a person buys trees, in that when a when we learned in the previous perek that that when a person buys trees in somebody else's field, or we had the other way around, where he sells a field and reserves the trees for himself, derech einloy, he doesn't even have a path to them, because we had the machlokas of Rabbi Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim previously about mocha ba'ayin raw mocha or mocha ba'ayin yafa mocha, and the Chachamim had said, take for example, actually we didn't talk about trees so much over there, but say for example, if Reuven has a field and he sells Shimon a bur or a dus in there, various kinds of water pits. So we said that mocha ba'ayin ra mocha. So he's selling him the pit, but he hasn't automatically sold him a right of way to get to it. They're going to have to arrange that separately, and he's going to have to pay extra for that ability to be able to go there. So now, the same way, you're telling me that he's buying trees and he's buying land around them, but he's not actually getting. He's definitely not actually getting a path to get to that part of the field in the first place. That he would have to buy separately. Or as the Gemara had put it over there, yeah, as Rashbam brings it over here, Yifrach Ba'av, he's going to have to fly in the air to get there. So the same way over here, what's the logic that, hashta derech ein loy, da'ara achriti, because after all, it's considered da'ara achriti. I'm skipping a line. Maskevarabolz a hashda derech einloy out of a saloi. So here's the thing. Actually, the printed Gemara in front of us has it as follows: that he's asking hashda derech einloy. Consider he doesn't even have a way there. Out of saloi yeshloi. What would be the logic that we should assign him an area outside trees to walk around and pick the fruit? Now that's marked with Hagoyes Habach. Takes out those words over here and has them only further on the next line of the Gemara. And the Rashbam also seems to not have those words. So in other words, the question is just that he doesn't even have derech, and the reason is the ara achriti. The reason is because it's considered in effect a separate piece of land. Exactly the case as if Reuven had a field and then sold a section of it to Shimon, and we wouldn't say that Shimon automatically with that gets a right of way, because according to the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva, that mocha b'ayin ra mocha, he's not automatically selling him a right of way. So why should it be any different over here? And then out of a sala yeshlei, what's the logic that he should have a place to be able to stand around the trees and be able to pick the fruit? Why should the owner of the field should be able to say, why should I have to sell you that? The same way as you obviously have to have some way of getting to the trees, but I'm not obligated to throw that in as part of the sale. You want a way of getting to the trees, buy that right away from me. The same way, let him say, when it comes to picking the fruit also, why should I have to automatically sell you part of my field for you to be able to walk around the trees and pick the fruit? Climb up on the tree and pick the fruit that way, or stand directly under the tree, under the branches, and pick the fruit. So that's Rabbi Elazar's question. Also our gross ma Rav Ranchberg points out that the words over here out of a sala yeshloy is also a line over here in the Gemara doesn't belong there, because again, that's the point. In other words, Rabbi Elazar's question is the point is all of this is part of Rabbi Elazar's question. In other words, the way we have it printed in the Gemara over here makes it sound like a question and then an answer, but it's not. It's all part of Rabbi Elazar's question that, given that he's not even entitled to a right of way to the trees, why is Rabbi Yochanan saying that automatically he's entitled to an area around the trees to pick the fruit? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Zeira, midivir Rabbeinu Nilmar. Well, based on what our Rebbe, based on what Rabbi Elazar is asking the question and saying, in effect, the fact that he's saying that he considers that this land under and around and whatever the trees is considered a separate piece of land, that means we can see from that shloisha hu de'en lo derech hashnayim yeshloi. It sounds like Rabbi Elazar is saying that when he buys three trees, then he doesn't automatically get a path to them. Hashnayim yeshloi, implying, but if he bought two trees, then he would automatically get that right away. Because the buyer of the trees could say, after all, the trees are standing in your property. And given that you were meshabed to the land to me, for example, that I can have my trees growing there and that the branches can be overhanging part of your field and so forth, then automatically, so you were meshabed that to me, so therefore automatically you must have been meshabed to me a place to walk to them as well. So Reb Zeira says, it's one thing, in other words, that, so it's one thing if, so in other words, in effect, the very fact that Rabbi Elazar uses the words, the arach ritihu, implies that he's saying you have to distinguish between whether this is considered a separate plot of land, whether he's actually bought land or not. If he's actually bought land, namely when he has three trees, or to take the examples from the previous parent, when he sold them a boru dus or something, which in effect are considered a separate land of their own, then we're saying he's not entitled to an easement, to a right of way in order to be able to get there. But Rebbe Lozo's implication seems to be that if to begin with he doesn't own any karka and the whole thing is just a matter of shibud, then he does automatically get a right of way. That's how the Rashbam learns the diyuk. Tosfos explains a little bit differently that the way Rebbe Lozo is phrasing it is that a person is more likely to be given a right of way more than Maloy Oda Vasala, because Rebbe Elazar is asking, if he doesn't even have a road, why should he have Oda Vasala, implying that a road is more of an obvious thing that he should be able to get. Marshall says Tosfos apparently did not have the words the Arachriti, and therefore Tosfos learns there, therefore, which we just said, that those words don't necessarily belong in the Gemara, and therefore Tosfos is making the diuk in a different way. But on the other hand, again, we're saying that when he has two trees, that he's entitled, no matter how big the branches grow, he's entitled to have the branches continue to grow, implying that he has the right even to go much further out into the field in order to pick the fruit that grows from those branches that have grown over the years. So all the more so, he should have a derech. So therefore, so that's the diuk that we're learning from what Rebbe Elazar says. The problem with that is, because he says, after all, those trees are standing in your field. It's true, I don't own the land at all, but implicitly, you've given me a shibud on everything I need for these trees. And that includes a way to get to, and that includes, even as the Mishnah had said, branches are growing over the years, and I have the right to go further and further into your field to pick the fruit that grows on those larger branches. The problem with that is, does that mean that Rabbi Elazar would disagree with what his Rebbe Shmuel taught? Where we learned earlier, when we had the whole thing of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, Shmuel had said that the halacha is that mocha ba'ayin yofa mocha. And therefore, that means that when you buy three trees, you should automatically have a road with them. And yet Rabbi Elazar is taking it as a given that when he buys three trees, he's not entitled to a road, he's not entitled to a path to get to those trees. Now, for the most part, Rebbe Elazar learned under Rabbi Yochanan for many, many years. But before that, Rebbe Elazar was originally from Bavel, and he had learned under Rav and under Shmuel before he moved to Eretz Yisrael and learned under Rabbi Yochanan. So does that imply that he would disagree then with Shmuel's statement that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva? Amalei, so Rava answers, the fact is, lo mitokma masnisen k'Rabbi Akiva. The fact is, yes, maybe he says that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, but you have to say our Mishnah evidently cannot be made to work according to Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says, "Mimai, where do we see that?" Midikatoni he gilu yeshapa, because the Mishnah had said that if he buys three trees, unlike the Mishnah had said when he buys two trees, and because there's only a shibud on the ground involved, therefore even when the branches grow and spread out further over the years, then the owner of the field can't require him to trim them back. But we said when he buys three trees and he buys karka automatically with them, then the Mishnah had said when the branches grow beyond that footprint of the land that he had bought, yeshapeh, then he has to trim them back. Or then the seller, the owner of the rest of the field, can trim them back without even asking. Now, the Sakudaitach Rabbi Akiva, if you're going to tell us that on Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, Amaya Shapa, why should he be allowed to? After all, Rabbi Akiva says Mocha Ba'ayin Yofa Mocher, and that would include the right to allow his branches to overhang his property. So necessarily, on Mishnah can't be like Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, yes, Rabbi Elazar may hold the halacha as like Rabbi Akiva, but of necessity, he would have to say that our Mishnah then is not actually according to that halacha. Bichlal, there was a discussion between Hashbam and Tosfos that we've touched on before, whether this whole matter of two trees versus three trees, whether that reflects machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, or whether not. So that Hashbam had learned that since Rabbi Akiva holds Mocha Ba'ayin Yofa Mocher, then he would also hold that even if you buy two trees, you buy karka, and only if you buy, similar to the Meir in our Mishnah, whereas Tosfos had said not so. That Machloitas of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim doesn't really bear on this. Here the Gemara is saying, never mind that. If our Mishnah went according to Rabbi Akiva, there wouldn't be the distinction between two and three, but there would be that if the branches grow larger, he wouldn't have the right to cut them back. But the Gemara says that's not really a proof. Amalei, Rav Nachman Yitzchok answers, no, Emor D'Amar Rav Akiva Gabi Bor V'Dus. You know, the difference is Rav Akiva is talking about when you sell a Bor V'Dus in your field where you're automatically giving him a right of way. The difference is D'Loi Machka Shi'ara. The difference is the Bor and the Dus don't take any nutrients out of the soil. They don't weaken the soil. And for that matter, if you give him a derech, then fine, then that wouldn't either. So therefore, we could say mocha ba'ayin yofa mocha, according to Rabbi Akiva. Gabi ilan nishamatle. Where do you ever find that Rabbi Akiva would say such a thing as far as a tree, that it would be such ayin yofa? You have to consider, after all, as the branches grow, they're overshadowing more of the field. They actually, unlike the bird and dus, which never grow, here the larger branches overshadow the field over the years, and they make it that now there's parts of the field that are less suitable for agriculture because the sunlight doesn't reach them as much. Also, for that matter, that Hashbam adds, that Hashbam points out that, and also adds, he wouldn't be able to plow in that area as easily because the branches overhanging over there are going to get in his way. So sure, even you might say that mocha ba'ayin yofa mocher, and maybe even according to the Rashbam, it would apply when he sells fewer trees, but to go to the extent that we would say that he's going to actually allow him to cause a hezek in his field over the years, no. After all, Milay Moide Rabbi Akiva, doesn't Rabbi Akiva agree with the din that we learned earlier in our Masechta, where a tree overhangs into somebody else's property, where you have to chop off the branches to the height above the plow of the Maudea. Maudea is a stick that you use to go, it's called a goad in English, and you use it to goad the animal to go in the right direction. So you have, for example, you're plowing and your hands are going to be, let's say, 3 or 4 feet above the ground. And then you have your maudea, which is another couple of feet long. You have to cut off the branches to that height so that they don't interfere with the guy plowing all the way to the edge of his field. And Rabbi Akiva agrees with that din as well, because the point is, you can say, sure, you have the right to hang over into my property to a certain extent, but not to the extent where it's going to cause harm to my property where I can't plow their property. Well, the same thing over here then. Even if Rabbi Akiva holds mocha ba'ayin yofa mocha, he might say that as far as a way to get to a boru dus, but he's not necessarily going to say it to the extent that he would allow you, that your branches are going to grow more and more over the years and make more and more of the field unusable for agriculture. So therefore, we could very well say that our Mishnah does go according to Rabbi Akiva after all. And in that case, then, that would have to mean that, yes, that if Rabbi Elazar is taking it as a given in terms of our Mishnah, that when you buy three trees, you don't automatically get a road to them, and therefore he's asking on Rabbi Yochanan, well, what's the logic that he should have Maloy Oda Vasaloy, then that implies that, yes, he does necessarily disagree with Shmuel, who said that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and he would implicitly say the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva, and mocha ba'ayin ra mocha, and therefore, in this case, he's not entitled to even a derech, and the question is, in that case, then why is he entitled to Oda Vasala? Okay. Tanya Kava said the Rabbi Ba'aba, and in fact, we learn a Braisa like the way Rabbi Ba'aba said it. After all, even though Rabbi Lozer is asking a question on it, nevertheless, we learn a Braisa that says like what he says. That Hareza Konatachtehen, that he's acquired the area under the trees, meaning under the branches and foliage of the trees, Ovenehen, and the area between the trees, Bechutzalehen Kimloi Urbasalai, and an area outside the trees, as much as it would take for him to walk around and use a basket to collect the fruit. You have Rebbe Lozer's question. Okay, it's a question, but nevertheless, that doesn't slug up the fact that that's how much he's acquired. Okay. So now the question becomes, now, when it comes to the area under the trees, obviously the owner of the trees would have the right, if he wants to plant something there, to plant something there. He may not very much may grow over there because it's under the trees. And the area between the trees as well, also, obviously the owner of the trees owns them, and therefore he can plant over there. But the question is, what about the area around which we want to reserve for Maloy Oda Vasaloi? Are we saying also that the owner of the trees absolutely owns those and therefore he can plant in them whatever he wants? And when he comes to pick his fruit, then fine. If he wants to ruin them by walking on them, that's his business. Or do we say that that area at least still belongs to the owner of the field? And maybe all it is that fine. I still haven't completely given up my rights. In other words, we would say Tachtein Ovei Nehen is actually sold to you together with the trees. But we would say maybe that the area Maloy Oda Vasaloi is maybe just a shibud, and therefore fine. I haven't given up my rights to that area to the extent that I can't plant there. I can plant over there. I'll have to deal with it when you come to pick their fruits. If it ends up that you step on my that you step on my plants, then okay, so be it. And then Mukha Yosef points out, practically speaking, anyway, you're probably not going to plant under the trees, which is why the Gemara is not really asking about that. But in any case, the question is about the area around the trees. So Rabbi Yosef answers, you can deduce this from a Mishnah later on in Our Masechta. You have it describes a case where Reuven and Shimon each have a garden. Shimon's garden is set further back from the road than Reuven's. And we said that he is entitled to a right of way through, as we'll discuss over there what the situation is exactly. But we said, the owner of the outer garden, Reuven, is allowed. He does have to allow Shimon a path through his garden, but he is allowed to plant there. Because to that extent, he hasn't given that up. So the same way over here, yes, he would be the owner of the field and be able to plant it. And then he's taking his chances. Fine, when you come to pick your fruit, you may end up trampling some of my plants. But Amalei Abaya mi dummy, but Abaya says, I'm not learning from that Mishnah, because how could you compare it? There's a big difference. Fine, to the extent we can say it means fine, I understand it means that the Lekeach can't plant there because it doesn't belong to him. But does that necessarily mean that in our case with the trees, the Moicher could plant there? The difference is Hosam less lepsei de Lekeach. The difference is that there in that case, with Shimon is not losing out. If Reuven, the owner of the outer garden, plants that area, big deal. I'm still allowed to walk through there. You're taking your chances with me trampling your plants. Here, on the other hand, you could argue the lekeach, the owner of the trees, now can argue that I'm actually losing out from you planting near the trees in the area where I'm going to pick them. Because he says, listen, when I pick my fruit, inevitably some of the fruit is going to fall on the ground and I'm going to have to pick it up. Now, if you have plants growing over there and you're fertilizing them, then that area is going to be dirty. So therefore, when my fruit falls and I have to pick it up, I'm going to have dirty fruit, which depending on the type of fruit we're talking about, it might not even be recoverable. So there's a big difference, says Abaya. So yes, if Reuven has a garden and he sells the inner half of the garden to Shimon, let's say, or to begin with, they were neighbors or whatever, we'll deal with on Daf Tzadik Ches, the exact scenario over there, right before Rosh Hashanah, we'll learn this, Bez Hashem, then then fine, we can say that he's saying that that you have a I've reserved for myself a right of way to be able to get to my garden. You're allowed to plant it. Fine. It's almost like Zen Man of Zelechosu. You're gaining from being able to plant there. I'm not losing out. I still will be able to walk. You're still giving me permission to walk through. And you're saying that if I end up trampling your plants, then you're not going to worry about it. But here, it's not only that. It's also that my fruit is going to end up getting dirty when it lands on your plants. So why should you be allowed to plant there? Maybe neither of us should be able to plant there. So and Abaye continues, Holo Damya Elo the Sefer. If you want to compare it to something in that Mishnah, then compare it to that to the Sefer, where you have a case over there in that same Mishnah, where you have a case, where Beis Din reserves a way for him to go there. Where Beis Din arranges for him to get a path in the side, midas shnei, meaning in other words, you have like this. You can have where the owner of the outside garden, Reuven, voluntarily says to Shimon, you know what? I understand you need a way to get in and out of your garden, so I'm going to give you a path. So you can say he's not meshabed to the extent where he should say that I shouldn't be able to plant that area anymore. I don't want to give it up to that extent. So he's still allowed to plant it over there. On the other hand, we say there can be you can have when Beis Din get involved. Now the thing is, there we're talking about where he has a path going through the middle of his garden. So you can argue that it's right in the middle of my garden. Why should I not be able to plant it? And therefore he's allowed to. On the other hand, you can have a case where Beis Din makes an arrangement that the two of them mutually agree that the owner of the inner garden is going to have a derech min atzad. It's going to be a longer way around, but it goes along the side rather than cutting straight through the garden. In that case, then we said he's not allowed to zevaze einin rasha in lazerda. Neither one is allowed to plant it. So therefore, says Abaye, the logic over here should be the same thing. We should say that neither the owner of the trees nor the owner of the field is allowed to plant that area. The owner of the trees, because it's not really his land, it's only meshubad to him to be able to pick the fruit. And the owner of the field, for the reason that we said, because the owner of the trees can complain and say that if any of my fruit falls there, it's going to get dirty. And in fact, Tanya Kava said to Abaye,
if you need an empty, it's not going to get dirty.
Then it's just bare ground.
Right.
Then it's just bare ground.
The chance of having some greens, having something.
No, but the point is, you're going to have fertilizer over there. You're going to be fertilizing the plants. Yeah. So, in fact, Tanya Kava said that Abaye. In fact, we learn a braisa like the way Abaye says it. Where we said that he's bought the land underneath the trees and between them and beyond them, the space where he would stand and where he would walk around with his basket. However, the zevaze in Rasha and Lazerda, neither the Mocha nor the Lekeach are allowed to plant that land for the reasons that we said. So the Gemara continues. The Kama Yehe Benehem. Now we're saying that there's a certain amount of space between them. We're saying that he owns the space between the trees. How much space is there? At what point do we say that now you could have like this? When the trees are too close together, you're not going to keep them growing like that indefinitely because they're going to crowd each other out. And if the nutrients are not going to be as strong. And if they're too far apart, obviously you're not going to say that he's acquired all the land between them when they're dozens of feet apart. So what is the spacing that we're talking about where he's entitled to Benehem? So Rabbi Yosef tells us in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who says in the name of Shmuel, when they're planted anywhere between 4 and 8 amas apart. So 4 amas apart is enough space where you can get through to plow. You need to plow the area between the trees because you need to aerate the soil. You need to, otherwise, over time, the soil gets compacted down and air doesn't reach the roots and the trees don't grow well. So every so often, you have to plow over there in order to dig up and then to turn over the soil and then get fresh topsoil over there. So you have to have at least four amos between the trees and maximum 8 amos. Rava Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Mishmoina Vad Sheish Esri. Rava says differently in the name of Rav Nachman and also in the name of Shmuel that it's between 8 and 16. So, but which is 4 to 8 or 8 to 6? Omale Abai Rabbi Yosef, Lloyd Tifla Galed Rab Nachman. So Abai says to Rabbi Yosef, you shouldn't be arguing with Rab Nachman. Rab Nachman's version, that's 8 to 16, must be correct. Ditznan must nissen kavosei, because after all, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Kilayim that supports Rab Nachman's version. Ditznan, we have a Mishnah over there. Hanateas karma sheshesre ama al sheshesre ama. If a person plants a vineyard with spacings of 16 amas, so he has one row of vines, then 16 amas further, 16 amas away from that, he has another row, and so forth. So then lahalacha, it's not considered one vineyard. Mutar lahavi zera l'sham, you would be allowed to plant grains or vegetables or whatever between them, and it wouldn't be an issue of kilaya kerem, because therefore, so in other words, in effect, each vine then is considered, or each row of vines is considered a separate one. Then you only need a space of 6 tefachim around them. The rule is, in order for it to be considered a vineyard, it has to be, first of all, it has to be a certain configuration, shtayim connected shtayim ba'achas yotzes zonav, where you have two, and then next to them another two, and then one sticking out on the end. It's machlokas. We're showing him where that one sticking out on the end is, whether it's centered between the other two, whether it's further than the other two and centered between them, so it looks like the outline of a house, with a peak roof, or whether it means that the third one sticks out, so you have a row of three and then next to it a row of two. It's machlokas rishonim. Whatever the case, that's the minimum to be considered a vineyard in halach. If it's considered a vineyard, then you have to keep any grain or vegetables 4 amas away from it, as opposed to if it's not considered, otherwise you have kalayakan. But if it's not considered a vineyard, then you only need 6 tefachim. So the point is, if these vines were planted, let's say 15 amas apart, even though they're 15 amas apart, it's a huge distance, nevertheless, we wouldn't say that you can plant 4 amas away from each one, because the whole thing is considered one big vineyard. So the whole area within, between one row and the next, is going to be all part of the vineyard, and it's also to plant. Any grain over there, you'd have to go 4 amas outside that whole area. But if the vines are planted 16 amas apart, then we say each row of vines is considered a separate thing of its own. So you don't have a kerem at all, because again, a kerem requires at least 2 rows. And therefore, so now you go back to the din, where you only need 6 tefachim around each one, around each vine, and then you can plant there. And in fact, the Mishnah continues, Omer of Yehuda, Maisa of Salmon, it happened in Salmon, which is a city in Eretz Yisrael, it happened, in fact, that a person did that in Salmon. He planted his vineyard with spacings of 16 amas. What he would do then is he would make sure that the branches of each two rows are facing in a different direction. And then he would plant the open area, the plowed area between them. He made sure that the total space between not just the roots of the branches, but also between the roots of the grapevines, but also between the branches and the leaves and whatnot, is full 16 amos. Then what he would do is the following year, he would turn the branches and the leaves to face in the other direction. And now the area in between that he had left empty, that he had left uncultivated the year before, then now he would plant there. So he would rotate back and forth. But the point is, in other words, that he only needed 6 tefachim around each grapevine. But like this, in other words, he gained. So like this, he had, in other words, you actually have a diagram there in front of you that helps illustrate it. So you'd have, for example, there's grapevine, plowed, barren. So what he would do is he would alternate back and forth every year, where one year the grapevines are overshadowing the barren area, and therefore he's not planting over there, even though in theory he could maybe, because all he needed is 6 tefachim, but he would leave that whole area empty. But instead he has another area, which not only you have those 16 amos between the grapevines, but also the grapevines aren't even overshadowing any of that area. So he would plow that and he would plant there, and the following year he would rotate and do the other way around. And the Chachamim came, and the Chachamim found out about it, and they said it's mutter. So we see, in other words, that when you have spacings of 16 amas, then they're not considered to be connected. It's not considered to be connected at all. The same way over here. Only when you have a spacing of 16 amas between the trees, only then would we say they're not connected and you don't own the land between the trees, implying, but if they're any closer than 16 amas, then they would. Therefore, Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel between 8 and 16 amas, then that fits much better with that Mishnah and Kilayim than your version, Rabbi Yosef, which is saying that 8 amas is already enough to make that difference. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and we'll continue analyzing in light of the halachas of Kilayim how exactly we figure the spacing between these trees, and when we say that you do own the land between them and when you don't.